Reminds me of a story about the Lord coming. There was a couple of fellows, one of them was having his hair cut and the other one was doing the cutting. And they were arguing about whether the Lord was going to come or not. And the one who was getting his hair cut was saying, the Lord's going to come. He's going to come soon. And the barber was saying, no, I don't believe that. Well, when the fellow got through with the haircut, he got up and left and headed home. Well, while they'd been in the midst of this argument, there'd been two young boys that had come by the grocery store that was right next door to the barber shop, and there was a box of nuts or a basket of nuts like we see set in there, and they looked around to see if anybody was coming, and they grabbed that basket of nuts and run outside of town to an old cemetery out there with a rock wall. And they run up to that cemetery and they crawl over the wall, and on the way over they dropped a couple of the nuts outside, but they got down inside and they started dividing them up. You take this and I'll take that one, you take this and I'll take that one. Well, the fellow that was arguing that the Lord was going to come, that was the way he went home. And he came by that cemetery and he stuck his ear up there and he heard it. He beat his way back to that barber shop. He said, you got to get out here. He says, I told you the Lord was going to come, and he and the devil are out there in the cemetery dividing them up. So, Barber wasn't in any mood to go, but he did. He got out there, and they stepped up just as these two boys were getting through dividing them up. You take this one, I'll take that one. You take this one, I'll take that one. Now let's get over the wall and get those other two nuts out there. You know, that's the most laughter I ever got out of that thing. I have talked to many people in my life about hell. Most of them don't want to talk about it. And most will deny it, or at least deny that it's any problem to them. I had a good friend that I tried my best to win him to the Lord, and he just would not do it. And after we had left where I was preaching, he died on the operating table. Couldn't reach him for the Lord, but his statement always was, I've got a front seat in hell. And joke about it. The other day at Walmart, some of you know when you say, how are you? And I will say, you know, I'm alive. And there's just kind of a pat answer people will say, well, that's a good thing. And I'll say, not if you know where you're going. That's what I said to this guy. And he says, I don't want to go to heaven. He says, those people don't know how to have any fun. He says, I'm going to go down to hell where they know how to live. A sad commentary on the way people feel about it. Well, as a preface to the message this morning, I'm going to bring a poem written by James Weldon Johnson. He was a black man, an educator, head of the NAACP at one time, and was in the latter part of the 19th century, first part of the 20th century, and he wrote a lot of poetry. He wrote a book called God's Trombones, in which are seven poems that are based on sermons from black preachers that he had remembered in his lifetime. What we're going to do this morning is one of those. It's called The Judgment Day. And if you'll bear with me, I've got to read it anymore. I used to remember it, but I can't anymore. But in that great day, people, in that great day, God's going to rain down fire. Early, one of these mornings, God's going to call for Gabriel. That tall, bright angel Gabriel. And God's going to say to him, Gabriel, blow your silver trumpet and wake the living nations. And Gabriel's going to say to him, Lord, how loud must I blow it? God's going to tell him, Gabriel, blow it calm and easy. And then he'll put one foot on the mountaintop and the other in the midst of the sea, and he'll stand and blow his horn and wake the living nations. Then God's going to say, Gabriel, again, blow your silver trumpet and wake the nations underground. And Gabriel's going to say, Lord, how loud should I blow it? God's going to say, like seven peals of thunder. And Gabriel then will put one foot on the battlements of heaven and the other on the steps of hell and stand and blow that silver trumpet till he wakes the nations underground. Then God's going to say to those that are coming, that are going to meet him in the air, he's going to say, it's time. And I feel the old earth shuddering. And I feel or see the graves bursting. And I hear a sound. What's that sound I hear? It's the sound of the clicking together of dry bones. Bone to bone, dry bones. And I see coming out of those bursting graves and marching up the valley of death, the army of the dead. And the living and the dead, in the twinkling of an eye, are going to be caught up into the middle of the air before God's judgment bar. Oh, sinner, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? Gambling man, where will you stand? Whoremongering man, where will you stand? Liar, backslider, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? God will divide the sheep from the goats. One on the right hand, the other on the left. And to those on the right hand, God's going to say, enter into my kingdom. And those who've gone through the great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, they will enter in, clothed in spotless white, with starry crowns upon their head, silver slippers upon their feet, and harps within their hands. Two by two they'll walk, up and down the golden streets, feasting on the milk and honey, singing new songs of Zion, chattering with the angels around the throne. But to them on the left, God's going to say, depart from me into the everlasting darkness, down into the bottomless pit. And the wicked, like lumps of lead, will start to fall. For 7 days and nights they'll fall down into the big, black, red-hot mouth of hell, belching out fire and brimstone. And their cries, like howling, yelping dogs, will go up with the smoke and torment of hell, but God will stop his ears. Too late, sinner. Too late. Goodbye, sinner. Goodbye. In hell, sinner. In hell, beyond the reach of the love of God. And I hear a voice crying, time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. And the sun will go out like a candle in the wind. And the earth shall burn like tar. And the sea will be dissolved. And the stars will fall like cinders. And with a wave of his hand, God will stop time and start the wheel of eternity. Sinner, oh sinner, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? You know, if we had preachers that preach like that a lot, it might scare the hell out of a lot of us. not trying to be vulgar or anything on that, but that's true. When I was a kid, preachers would preach about hell and make you not want to go there. Now they just skip over it, like they're afraid of it. Now, I don't know if they're afraid to have it in their mind and afraid that it, you know, they don't know where they're going. But praise the Lord, I do.
Amen.
And I want to be among one of those that he says, enter into the kingdom prepared for you. What's hell going to be like? Well, there's a lot of descriptions of it. But I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be where Satan will be. And that's not where I want to be. Mankind wasn't intended to go to hell. Did you know that? That wasn't what it was made for. In Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 41st verse, if you want to turn there with me, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for whom? For the devil and his angels. God didn't do this for man. But man has chosen to go there. This will make hell filled with the character of Satan. What's Satan's character like? Well, in John, the 8th chapter and the 45th verse, Jesus says he, and he's talking about the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie. And he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar and the father of lies. A thing built totally on falsehood. And I really don't think that's going to be what's inside the belt in Washington, D.C. A lot of lying going on up there. But anyway, hell is going to be not only where Satan is, but he's going to be where God is not. And that's what scares me. God won't be there. All of the things about this life that you like, you see the sunlight streams in the windows. You see the beauty of the mountains. You see the green grass. You see the flowers. You see all of this beauty. This comes from God. It's going to be a place of darkness. It says it's going to be a lake of fire, but it's going to be a fire like you and I have never known, because it's going to be darkness. We ate supper last night at the Cracker Barrel, and they had their fireplace going. And, you know, we kind of sat at the table down close to it, and the fire in there, reds and blues and yellows and light. But hell is going to be a fire where God is not. A place of darkness. Jesus said of the man, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. And the Bible in John, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No light there. Any wonder that it's called a place of darkness? And every good thing comes from God. And where God is not, there's nothing good. Nothing that's good. James says every good and thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting shadow. You know what? I put this thing on and forgot to turn it on. Does it make any difference?
No, you're lying.
Trying to tell me I got a big mouth. Now I'll get tickled. Okay. Every good thing, every perfect thing, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Everything perfect comes from God. Won't be there. won't be there. The citizens of hell, other than the devil and his angels, will consist of those choosing in this life not to take on the character of God. Do you know God loves everyone? But he is not so unloving that he will force an individual to live with him for eternity if that person has chosen not to have anything to do with him in this life. Why would he force that upon a man or a woman if the individual has chosen not to have anything to do with him? You have your children who will do something bad at times. You just, you know, you don't force them to be there with you. You let them go off and work it out. God's not going to force that individual to be with him. Here's the type of person, Revelation 21:8. Verse maybe you ought to memorize. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers. By the way, the word there calls that sorcerer from the Greek is the one that we get pharmaceutical from. Drugs. Idolaters, all liars. Their part will be in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, which is the second death. Now, why is it called the second death? What is death? Death is a separation. When we die in this life, our spirit moves out. It's separated from the body. We are no longer connected. So we're separated. You remember in the garden what God did to Adam and Eve after they had chosen to sin? They were put out of the garden. Now there was a reason for this. Two reasons. One, to separate them from him. And two, he says, to separate them from the tree of life, that they'll eat of that tree and live forever. But that was a separation. That was the first death, separation from God. 939 years later, Adam separated from his body and died. Now, when Eve did, we don't know. There were some others that died before that time. Cain was killed, or rather Abel was killed by his brother Cain. Others had died. Methuselah took 969 years to die. But he passed away, bodies separated. But all of that time, they're separated from God. Now he says, a second death. When we sin, you and I sin, says the Bible tells us that our sins have separated between us and God. This separation is an eternal one, never to be with God again. Well, if hell's such a bad place, don't you reckon we ought to be doing something to try to keep people from going there? Might be a good project to take upon ourselves. Well, we could do it a couple ways. We might try to get people to do a lot of good things, you know. We might get them to choose some organizations, you know. They're going to save a whale. They're going to save a silvery minnow. They're going to save an owl. They're going to save some trees. They're going to save this. They're going to save that. And they work hard at it and spend their life at it. And they do a lot of other good things in their lives. But what does the Bible say about it? Well, I'll tell you what it says in Isaiah. It says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Our good works aren't going to do it. Our good deeds aren't going to do it. Okay, then we'll get them started in religious activities. You know, we'll get them to doing a lot of good things for church. Well, doing good, you know, being at prayer meetings, and all of these things that are connected with the church that are good. But Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, that's the key. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You see, religious activity is not going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it is if we have our faith put in Jesus Christ and do what he says because he said it. That's what will get it done. Now, we could go out and we could talk to all of our neighbors. And we could preach to every one of them about Jesus Christ, which could be a good thing. We could all become full-time preachers. We could become missionaries, become Christian workers. That we might do to keep people from going to hell, working full-time at it. The Bible says in Romans the 10th chapter that how are people going to hear if we don't tell them? How will they believe if they haven't heard? And that's true. But there's another way we can do it too. We can live lives causing people to ask questions why we are like we are. Anybody ever ask you why you're different? Anybody ask why you do things the way you do? Peter says this, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to anyone that asks you a reason for the hope that lies within you. I'm going to give you a couple of examples that I know of people that have made this kind of a choice and let their lives change them around them. Two girls in a town where we preached. One of them was a rich girl. She had everything she wanted. Her mom and dad had just bought her a new Pontiac Grand Prix. It wasn't graduation time, just as a gift. This is a small town. The high school has 21 people in it. She's a cheerleader. She's a pretty girl, so that makes sense. But she had a friend who was also a cheerleader, not nearly so pretty, didn't have the money. But they went 60 miles to hear David Wilkerson preach. You know, he's the one that wrote Cross and the Switchblade. I don't know if any of you have ever read that. But they went forward in his revival meeting. They committed their life to Christ and they came back to this little town, to that high school of 21 people. And Linda and I have seen 35 young people, high school people, in our living room because of the changed life in two girls. Our lives have an effect. In Indiana, in the town where we preached, in February, I had come down to the preaching teaching convention at Ozark Bible College in Joplin. And while I was gone, the couple who took care of the young people in our church, who were the leaders, she had gone up to Logansport, Indiana, to pick up a ping pong table for the kids to play on. She's on her way home. She hits a patch of ice. Now, you remember, this is in the mid-70s. Seat belts were not required on children. And they could sit in the front seat. So this two-year-old was sitting in the front seat. When she hit that ice, she rolled the pickup and threw the little girl out. The little girl landed in the ditch and the pickup rolled on top of her. Didn't kill her. The wrecker comes and is going to lift the pickup off of the little girl, and it slipped and dropped on her. Didn't kill her. Literally scared her to death. I have a hard time telling this story. In that part of the country, the night before the funeral is the big thing. And people were lined up down the street waiting to come in and see Bill and Kathy. They'd take them by, put their arms around them. These people were saying, "We don't want to be here. We don't know what to do." Bill and Kathy would take them up to their daughter and they'd say, "We're going to be with her. We're going to be with her." Bill came to me and he says, "I want you to pray for me." He says, "I don't want to hate that wrecker driver." And he prayed. We prayed. Bill's brother-in-law came to me and he says, "I don't know what Bill's got, but I want it." And I saw and I talked to people that came to be a part of that church. When we started ministering there, there were 85 people that came. One Sunday we had 300 and ran about 250 because of what I did know. I'd talk to these people, I'd say, "Why'd you come?" "Because of Bill and Kathy's faith." Our faith, lived in a community, can make a difference. Do we want to change people's lives? Then live a life that will make them want to change. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And we have an opportunity to give our life to Christ. Oh, that young girl, that teenage girl, she'd gone to church all of her life, but suddenly she knew that what she had was just religion. So she gave her life. It wasn't just scum on the top of the water anymore. It was the whole water that she had in her life. And it made a difference. In your life and my life, we need to let Jesus come in so he can make the difference. Shall we stand and sing?